In the United States, you are innocent until they prove you guilty. Perhaps Miss Trixie had confessed. Why hadn't Mr. Levy telephoned back? Ignatius would not be tossed into a mental clinic while, legally, he was still innocent of having written the letter. His mother, typically, had responded to Mr. Levy's visit in the most irrational and emotional manner possible.
I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna fix you up.
Yes, she would fix him up all right. A hose would be turned on him. Some cretin psychoanalyst would attempt to comprehend the singularity of his worldview. In frustration, a psychoanalyst would have him crammed into a cell 3 feet square. No, that was out of the question. Jail was preferable. There, they only limited you physically. In a mental ward, they tampered with your soul and worldview and mind. He would never tolerate that. And his mother had been so apologetic about this mysterious protection she was going to give him. All signs pointed to Charity Hospital. Oh, Fortuna, you wretch! Now he was waddling around in the little house like a sitting duck. Whatever strong-arm men the hospital employed had their sights aimed directly at him. Ignatius Riley, Clay Pigeon. His mother might only have gone to one of her bowling bacchanalia. On the other hand, a barred truck might be speeding to Constantinople Street right now. Escape. Escape. Ignatius looked in his wallet. The $30 was gone, apparently confiscated by his mother at the hospital. He looked at the clock. It was almost 8 o'clock. Between napping and assaulting the glove, the afternoon and evening had passed rather quickly. Ignatius searched his room, flinging Big Chief tablets around, mashing them underfoot, dragging them from beneath his bed. He came up with some scattered coins and went to work on the desk, where he found a few more. The total was 60 cents, a sum that limited and blocked escape routes. He could at least find a safe haven for the rest of the evening, the Britannia. After the theater had closed, he could pass along Constantinople Street to see whether his mother had come home. There was a slipshod frenzy of dressing. The red flannel nightshirt sailed up and hung on the chandelier. He jammed his toes into the desert boots and leaped as well as he could into the tweed trousers, which he could hardly button at the waist. Shirt, cap, overcoat, Ignatius put them on blindly and ran into the hall, careening against the narrow walls. He was just reaching the front door when 3 loud knocks cracked against the shutters. Mr. Levy returned? His valve sent out a distress signal that established communication with his hands. He scratched the bumps on his paws and peered through the shutters, expecting to see several hirsute brutes from the hospital. There on the porch stood Myrna in a shapeless olive-drab corduroy car coat. Her black hair was braided into a pigtail that twisted under one ear and fell on her breast. A guitar was slung over her shoulders.